Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Let's pray. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. And together our faith is built up in the knowledge of the person of Jesus. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word in Jesus' name. Say a lively amen.
Amen.
That's better. All right, so we talked about the foundations. And then we started with the scripture in the book of Psalms that says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And I said, well, that's not a statement of hopelessness. Right? If the foundations are destroyed, what should the righteous do? Build them again. Find out how the foundations should be and to build them again. And we talked about why there was the Protestant Reformation, the 1700s, by Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther, I have a dream. Martin Luther, the theologian. And the reason for the Reformation, right? The abuse of spiritual power, the sales of indulgence, more of works as opposed to the grace of God. And they began to question a couple of things, you know, selling of spiritual privileges to wealthy people. So if you had money, you could buy certain spiritual privileges. And I said, if you haven't listened to the part one of the message, please get it and listen to it. And I said, we are gradually going back to those things again. And so out of that, Martin Luther, with some other theologians, John Horace, Martin Luther, Zwingli, a couple of those reformers began to question some of those things. And Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses at the door of the Wittenberg Church in Germany. And that led to the Protestant Reformation from the word protest. So you have the Lutheran Church, Protestant Church, against the Roman Catholic Church. Because, I said, the Roman Catholic Church at that time had become a state church. Constantine had merged the church, you know, so the church had political powers. And so they really persecuted Martin Luther. But there were five foundations of the Christian Reformation, the basis of the Christian faith. So the first one, it's sola scriptura, scripture alone, solus Christus, Christ alone, sola fide, faith alone, which we're going to talk about today. Sola gratia, grace alone. And soli de gloria, glory to God alone. And all of these things are the foundations of our faith. And I want us to be conscious of the foundations of our faith. So today we're going to look at sola fide, faith alone. A man by the name of John Santayana said something, and we say it all the time, but he was the first person who said it in 1863. Those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. Those who don't study history are doomed to repeat it. One of the things that we need to know is to study a lot of church history, where the church is coming from. If you study a lot of church history, you would obviously see certain repeats of certain things. And that's why we're going back into this study. Now, it's very important that we do not forget our roots, the root of the faith, the root of the Christian faith. We read 1 Peter chapter 3, right? That tells us to sanctify Christ in our hearts and that we're able to present a defense to those who question our faith, right? Remember we read that? 1 Peter? Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's have the amplified version, please. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, it says, but sanctified Christ as Lord in your hearts, always been ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you with gentleness and reverence. The NLT says, be able to do what? To explain it. That's what the New Living Translation says. Be able to explain it. The Amplified says, be able to give a logical defense for the hope that's in you. Be able to give a logical defense for the hope that's in you. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that's in you. So it's a faith that we should be able to defend and do it logically. Okay? So we're looking at faith alone, sola fide, faith alone. I read something I have in my notes here. It says, where people who have forgotten our roots, and in many cases, we really don't seem to care. The church exists in a world of rapidly changing technology, a world in which almost everyone has been assimilated into the incessant chatter of social media, real-time updates on everything from world politics to what your friend had for breakfast this morning. And if we're to be relevant also, we think we must be a people of the new and the now. The consequences of such ideas is in the church, therefore, all to see. A poll was taken. We don't do research in this part of the world, so to be an American poll. A poll was taken. They didn't want to do research. Just how many people are there? Say there are 15. Say just make it 20. Right? Yeah. It's just, that's our population keeps increasing every year. In some places it will decrease. Some places it will increase. And where it's increasing are where people died more. And they asked some Christians about the foundations of their faith, and they couldn't reply. Some couldn't reply about the foundations of their faith, about the basic Christian doctrines. Some were not aware what it is. But they go to church quite all right. Don't be comfortable being an illiterate Christian. Do you understand that? Church of Christ, do you understand what I've just said? Say amen.
Amen.
Don't be comfortable being a Christian that's illiterate in Bible matters. You know, you can join with the bandwagon of Christianity. This is our church. Our pastor can preach. Our pastor can preach does not mean you know the Bible. They are two different things entirely. You should know the Bible for yourself. That's why you have a copy of the Bible. That's if you have. Don't be comfortable. You know, when we want to study a bit, they now say, are you a pastor? Are you a pastor? Say, no, I'm not. I'm not. It's Pastor Max. It's Pastor. And you are happy not knowing about the Bible. And you are boastfully saying it. You are proud about it. It's only in Christian religion that ministers celebrate the ignorance of their followers. But other religions don't. They try as much as they can to indoctrinate their followers. Do you understand what I'm saying? To ensure that those truths are carried on. So don't be comfortable. Whatever I know, strive to know it. And even know more. That's why it's important that you have your church notes. That you take notes. And you write. And you go back. And go over it. And some of you write your notes and leave it here for us. And then next week, maybe call it. I have my notes. It's one jotter. Blue jotter. What is that? Mama at 70. That's what you brought to church. To learn God's word. How long have you been a Christian? 25 years. And you are still carrying Mama at 70. The next week, Jumbo clocks one. 5 Sundays, 5 different jotters. How old are you as a Christian? 15 years. It doesn't tell well of your desire to learn the things of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Doesn't tell well. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because it's those looseness that we began to allow in the body of Christ that made us to lose essential truths. And like I said, if we don't pay attention to history, we would repeat history. The Christian faith is very intellectual at its best. Very spiritual, but yet very intellectual. It's not just a place for I receive, I believe, I receive. No, you know we teach faith here. But if you see how Jesus answered the Pharisees, very logical. See how Paul argues the case for faith and grace, very logical. See how James argues the case for works and faith, very logical. And so, I'm saying all of this to say, history will keep repeating itself if we're not diligent students of the Word of God. Or diligent students of the Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? Say amen if you're here. Amen. All right. So, how did the concept of faith alone come? I'll just give you a brief history of it. So, Martin Luther was, you know, a theologian. And he was a monk. Was a lawyer, actually. But then he became a monk. And then he was doing everything to please God. Fasted for days on end, slept on the floor, confessed his sins for hours. At a point, he even beat himself with a whip. Several things to truly show that he was sorry to God for the sins that he's committed. So one day, he kept going through this phase. So one day, he spoke to his mentor about the torment he was having on his soul about his sins and the things he was doing to feel forgiven. So his mentor now told him, okay, well, I mean, didn't give him a lot of solutions, but said, well, start teaching the book of Romans to some of the seminary graduates. So he started teaching the book of Romans. So when he got to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, that verse of scripture struck a chord on his heart. Romans 1:17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. That verse of scripture couldn't leave the heart of Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God. How can I attain this righteousness of God? The Bible says it's by faith. Meanwhile, at that time, the Roman Catholic Church have had all those things you need to do, right? Pay for people to come out of purgatory, pray to these saints, pray to that saints, pray to Mary's mother, pray to this one, pray. And all these many things that will make you righteous. And Martin Luther stumbled on Romans 1:17. He says, the just shall live by faith. That became what a lot of theologians call the summarized version. In fact, this scripture was what led to the Reformation. That a man can be justified by faith. And how does that appeal to us today? Because in today's work and teachings and various things coming up in the church, that there are a lot of things now being taught that will make a man justified. They are very subtle, but there are a lot of things. Right? And I told you when I was teaching on Christ alone, yeah, most of them are interrelated. Okay? They're interrelated. They're not very different. So we might repeat some things. Right? I told you when I was teaching Christ alone, some things people teach. Oh, you want your destiny to open up. You want things to happen to you. Take money. Go and help. Look for a widow. Help them. Look for poor people. Help them. Look for this one. Why are you doing that? It says, when you help the poor, you know, your destiny will open up very wide. Okay. So during your birthday, you carry drink, carry things, go to orphanage, snap picture, and you do. Because you want your destiny to open up. You see, you don't like those children. You are using them for yourself. And it's wickedness. It's not love. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, if I burn myself for the poor and I do not love them, it says, what I've done is empty. So once you see a poor person, you want to give. Not because you really want to bless them. You want to use them as destiny open points. And it's a faulty teaching. It makes people primarily selfish. And that's what God came to deliver us from. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? See, these are subtle things that... And I was teaching in our growth class this morning on salvation. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. The scripture says he was a God-fearing man. He feared God. He gave alms. He prayed. He was a member of the Roman regiment. He was an officer. But he wasn't saved. The angel appeared to him and says, go tell Peter to tell you words by which you will be saved. If that kind of person were to be in today's church, we would not preach to the person. He had the position already. He was already praying. He was already giving alms. He was doing it devotedly. Why will he need to be saved? Because salvation is not the things we promise people. Salvation must appeal to all men. So salvation is not come to Jesus, he will make you rich. If you preach that, what would you preach to, if Dangote was in your service? What would you preach to him? Now, he's a Muslim. He's one of the wealthiest people around. He shows up this morning. What should we say to him now? Eh? Or come to Jesus, he'll make you poor. Or say, if you come to Jesus, all your problem will be solved. What is the problem? You are not married. Okay, so for the person who is married, how does that message appeal to him? Is it so? You see, we preach a lot of things and we call them gospel. It's not the gospel. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That just as in Adam all died, so in Christ we'll all be made alive. What is the common denominator to all men is the sin nature. And if you have that message, it appeals to the rich, to the poor, to the black, to white. It appeals to all men. And that's why justification is by faith. Is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Somebody say, it's very simple. Yes, because Jesus had paid the price. One of the things we must return back to Christianity is the simplicity of the Christian faith. That a man trust God. That you believe what is written in the word. Are you still here? Say amen if you're here. Martin Luther had grown up to hate the phrase, the righteousness of God, because he felt it was something he could never attain. And stumbling on this in the book of Romans, something began to work in him. Paul speaks of another gospel, Galatians chapter 1 verse 9. Let's go there. Let's read some Bible verse. Galatians chapter 1 verse 9. And Galatians is a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book. Galatians 1 9. Can we read from verse 6? I like this. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel, Paul says. For a different gospel. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. What does it mean to distort? What does it mean to distort? Who can help me? If I say you are distorting something, what does it mean? Help me, English people. Change, what again? Huh? Alter? Yeah, what again? What's that? What did he say? Unsettle. Okay, unsettle. Yeah. Distort. Change the appearance of something. He says, that's the gospel they're preaching. Change the appearance of something. That's the gospel they're preaching. Go to the next verse. But even if we, look at this, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is accursed. What is this gospel Paul was talking about? If you go back home, study the book of Galatians carefully. What is he talking about? It was the gospel of works. He says, you started in the spirit. Do you want to finish in the flesh? How is it that you were saved? It's very simple. You accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that you would please him? Faith in the finished work. If you see the way we are stretching this gospel again, it's a lot of work. If you have to pray, it has to be by midnight. Because between morning and afternoon, God has overworked. So network. Eh? So at midnight, network is clear. Or that's when witches fly. Because this person preaching to you was an ex-traffic control officer in the international aircraft of International Witchcraft Airport. So he knows their takeoff and landing time. It's a different gospel. When Jesus' disciples asked him, teach us to pray, what did he say? When you pray, which means anytime. Right? Hey, but you don't understand. No, we don't. That's what Paul says. We don't want to understand because it's a different gospel. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Yes, but different gospel. Distorting. You see, it's simple. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. What else are you looking for? You want to trace your father's house. You see, in Adam, all sinned. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ultimately, all humans are from one race. Ultimately. And that race is marked by sin. You know, but when you say believe the gospel, it looks like there's not much thing to do. You know, when you are running from pillar to post, it looks like you are really concerned about your life. That's why some people say, will you just sit there and just be like that? Say, what are you saying? Do walk. And then, that's why today we have fetish practices in church. We used to wear armlets. Now we wear the pictures of our pastors. Just different. I know some of you come here and still wear some prophet's own because you think I'm not powerful enough. So when you're coming, you're talking it inside. When you're going, you're deceiving yourself. See, at your age of serving God, you should have grown above certain things. When you started, it was okay. So as your children are going to school, you buy and give to them. That man will die. I know you think he will not, but he would. Faith in God. Why is the name of Jesus not enough for you? Why do you need something extra? Extra oil? Extra salt? You know, when we say these things, it looks like, but it's working. That's a different gospel. Faith in the name. Faith alone. God has done it in such a way that if a man would believe, he would be the Son of God. As simple as that is. Even if you didn't have money to buy a bottle of oil, you could still be saved. Praise God. Be careful of this subtle gospel flying around. Be careful of it. You've got to pray this number of hours. It's not the length of prayers. It's good to pray long, but it's faith in the name of Jesus that answers the prayers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, you must not lay emphasis on anything but faith alone in his name. When Peter healed the man and he asked him, he says, is it by your own? He says, it's not by our holiness. Look at Peter. He didn't say it's by only. He says, but faith in his name. The apostles were careful to point people to faith in his name. They didn't say, wow, you don't understand this. We were with Jesus. He gave us some secret powers you're not aware of. He didn't say that. He said, faith in his name. Can you say amen? So Paul was addressing the same questions that Sola Fide addresses. On what basis is humanity declared by God to be justified? It's faith alone. Galatians 2:16. Faith alone. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is... Galatians 2:16. You're in Galatians, right? Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even if we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we might be justified by faith in Christ. And not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. You know, many times, people think they can keep the law. You know, I'm always amazed at how Christians want to do things the way Israel did things. You know, wear the shofar, blow the shofar horn. You know, a lot of people want to go back there. See, this is how the Jews practice it. He's not Jesus, he's Yeshua. We greet you in the name of Yeshua. You have not finished pronouncing your father's name. You're trying to pronounce Jesus' name in Hebrew. Let me tell you something. You know, I'm doing Greek and Hebrew languages in my studies now. My Hebrew lecturer said something. except you spend a lot of time studying the Hebrew language and spending some time within those regions, with your English intonation, you can never get the pronunciations very correctly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So to say that we should not use Jesus, we use his original name, you've already missed the pronunciation. Just use Jesus. At least now you know it's correct. See, let's not look for these extra things. You cannot be justified by the works of the law. And many times we think it's just the little laws that we know. Actually, the Jews had over 630 laws they were to keep. Israelites, they had over 630 laws they were to keep. You can't keep all of them. Christ had come and paid the price for those things. It's faith alone. It's simple, but we need to restore that faith alone in his name, in his sacrifice. Faith. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone. So Paul says, no one can be justified except by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. So I'm going to read something. Justification is a judicial act of God in which he does two things. Number one, he pardons or forgives individual believers all their sins. And positively, he counts and declares them righteous in his sight. So justification is two things. God says, hey, your sins are redeemed. Your sins are blotted out. Your sins are covered. And then, not only are your sins covered, I count you righteous. That's why Abraham was justified by faith. You know, Abraham, go study Abraham's father, was serving the moon god, had 12 gods he was worshipping. But when he came to, when God called him and he believed, he was accounted to him for righteousness. There was no way he needed to go and do cleansing. If you want to do cleansing, it's okay. But you shouldn't. Except you have some extra money to give. Because we've had people now going to take spiritual baths. And you know, when we say these things, you laugh, right? And you know the reason you're laughing? Because you have not started beating. Right? You know why a lot of Christians get involved in those things? When they go through trials. Because the gospel they heard coming to God was, when you come to Jesus, he will solve all your problems. So when trials come, the believer does not know how to face it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that if you're going through certain trials, and I said the Bible says count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Do you think you count it all joy? Come on, talk to me now. Even without temptation, I'm saying, smile, you are finding it difficult not to talk of if you are in trial. Right? Then what will a pastor look for? What did you do that is making this to happen? See, the fact that we're in a fallen world, things will happen. Faith alone in Christ. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 to 26. So we can also say that justification is an act of God's free grace upon sinners, in which he pardons all their sins, accepts and accounts their persons righteous in his sight. Not for anything done by them, but only for the perfect obedience and full satisfaction of Christ by God, imputing to us that righteousness that we receive by faith. So justification is a legal term. It says justification is an act of God's free grace unto sinners, in which he pardons all their sins, accepts and accounts their persons righteous in his sight. So when a man is forgiven, God imputes to him his own righteousness. It's not the righteousness of that man. Praise God. That's why if you've committed sin or you've done some things in the past, don't try to, you know, some people try to do stuff to pay for what they've done. You cannot satisfy the claims of justice. Christ has paid that price. Hallelujah. It's like you're owing a debt and you say you're owing 5,000 naira. Right? And someone paid the price for you. What you do, you rejoice in that price. You believe he has paid. You don't now try to pay. It's actually very insulting to the one who paid. How many of you have helped people and they are now trying to help you back to, in quotes, show that they are grateful? You know, sometimes it can be interesting because the person who is trying to help you, what can he really do to be helped to? You know, it's like you pay your child's school fees. He now says, "Father, you know, I'm very grateful." Then he's now coming to wash the car. He's coming to do everything. It looks okay, but you see, you're like, you know what? I did this for you, boy. Huh? You can't pay God to like you more than he has loved you when Jesus died. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you like, fast. Then if you are the type of Christian that does not hear word, add dry fasting to it. That means don't drink water. Shorten your age. So that when you die, you can have a lot of people to blame. Don't drink water. Do dry fasting. Make it 42 days, 2 days extra, plus the one Jesus did. Drink olive oil until you start, oil starts smelling everywhere. Yeah, you can even add coconut oil. Look for many prophets, powerful prophets. See, the day you come to the end of yourself, God will take over. When you are tired of struggling, that's why some people just say, "I'm tired. Even if God wants to kill me, let him kill me." That's when they start finding solution. They will feel they threatened God. No, that was the only time God could intervene. You know, some of us think, it's like when we're talking about having faith in God, some of us think we had this whole life figured out. You'll be amazed that you don't know what will happen tomorrow with all your calculation, scenario planning, project management. You are a black belt holder. You are a green belt holder. You have studied in Harvard. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. 15 hours from now, you have no clue. Doctorate degree in project management. With all your intelligence, as wise as the world, nobody saw COVID. After COVID came, people started digging prophecy. I prophesied but I did not see the vid. Yeah, I mean, what nonsense is all that? You know, sometimes we pastors try to overdo things. Just say the thing caught you unawares. Elijah looked at the man and said, "God has hid this from me." It's not everything God is showing you. You are a man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you here? Faith in his name. Not faith in yourself. Faith in his name. Not faith in your righteousness. Faith in his name. The Bible says your righteousness is like a filthy rag. You cannot meet the claims of justice. Jesus paid that price. And see, because he paid the price and imputes his righteousness into you from his righteous nature, what will now happen? You can now live righteously. Not based on your own righteousness now. Do you understand that? He has given you what it takes to now live righteous. It's not what you attain. It's what you receive and now live at. And that's important. Because I'm not saying, you know, live here now and go and curse everybody and say, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not by my works." They will beat you. You know, if you sin, God forgives you. Humans will send you to prison. Do you understand? So you have to create that balance, and it's very important. And that's what James was actually trying to talk about when he wrote James. You know, some people argue with James when he talks about faith without works and everything. But it's the same thing. It's saying, listen, if you're righteous, your works will show it. Do you understand that? It's called the fruits that come out of repentance. Okay? All right. Romans 3, I said you should turn there. Are you here? Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. Romans 3, 21. Number one. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. The word manifested is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophet. That means the law and the prophet, which is the writings, the laws and the prophet, the writings of the prophet, witness to it. That means they attest to this righteousness Paul's trying to talk about. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Even the righteousness of God. And it's very important that the righteousness we're talking about is not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God in righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Look at that. Romans 3:22. Look at this. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for how many people? I didn't hear that. For how many people? Pay attention to that word. It's important. For how many people? All those who believe. For there is what? No distinction. Next verse. For all have done what? Sin. Can you put the two verses together? Can you put it together? In one slide, if possible. If you can't, go back to verse 22. If you can't do it, but if you can't, go back to verse 22. I need all the time I can. So just quickly go back to... Okay, fantastic. Now, I want you to look at the punctuation right there. Right. Look at those. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. What? What's that? You have a semicolon there, right? For there is no distinction. Then there's a semicolon. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, all have sinned right here. All have sinned. Look at all have sinned. And look at all those who believe. All have sinned. All those who believe. What deals with the sin nature is believing. Because the righteousness of God can only come through faith in Christ Jesus. The channel by which that righteousness comes to man is faith in Christ. Nothing else. Are you following that? So when he says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, he's talking about man not coming to God through Christ. The sin of man. And that's the price that Jesus paid. That's why the Lord justified us by his sacrifice and his resurrection on the cross. Romans chapter 4 verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our forefather, according to the flesh has found? What did Abraham find? He says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. You see, that's the thing. The thing is, by the time you want to be justified, not by faith, but by works, you always have something to boast about. I prayed this. I gave this much. I did this much. And it's just boasting in what you are able to do. But look at what it says. It says, for what does the scripture say? It says, Abraham believed God and it was credited. How many of you know credited, right? Credited is an accounting term. Right? You know it's an accounting term, right? So if I say, I'm going to credit or I'm going to give you this amount, I pay the money into your bank and what does your bank do? Credit your account, right? And especially if you are using all these wonderful sisters and brothers that do POS, right? They will say they want to see the alert first. Because the alert is the proof that whatever you sent has arrived, right? Follow this. Now, when they discovered, when they discover that it has arrived, what do? They count the money and give to you. Even though, let's say you wanted 20,000, even though they didn't see the 20,000 physically, right? They saw the credit alert. Do you get? And they believed. GTB or Access or whatever bank they are using. They believed. In fact, they can go and fight with that alert. That's how much faith they have in the alert. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They can actually go and cause trouble. This is how much I have. If I tell some of you now that, oh, you don't have this amount of money, you will go to the bank. You will show them your... You see how much faith you have in SMS? How much faith? You will boast. You will go. Some of you will buy things. And maybe that's why here now, maybe I just do a miracle money service. I say, bring out your phone. Miracle money is flying. Some of you want to bring out your phone. Have you? And then you just see 1 million. Some of you will not go home. You just call your wife. Says our service goes. Say, don't worry. Say, I'm coming. I'm going to Port Harcourt now. You will start buying things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have not touched the money. But you believe that it's been credited to your account. How much more God? When he says you're righteous. That's why he says, come to the throne of grace boldly. He didn't say storm the gate of heaven. He didn't say pray under the prince of patience. You know, some people pray and say their prayers didn't go up to the ceiling. I said, where was he traveling to? It's not your feelings. It's what he has done. You might not feel rich, but that has been credited to your account. You know, if 1 million was credited to your account right now, you might not feel differently. You will not grow fatter. Although you might be smiling unconsciously, you know, even when somebody slaps you, you still smile. You say, I take slap for a living. I just enjoy people's... You just know. Or if you are the different kind of Christian, you say, I will deal with you. Do you know who I am? Who you are now is based on the SMS. There's nothing. You just feel that by the time you spend 300,000, you have locked out this person for life. That's how much faith we have in human technology. What about God when he tells us that if we believe him, he calls us righteous? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful. I like the second word, and just. Not just faithful. He's faithful and just. A legal word again, to forgive us all our iniquities. Praise the name of the Lord. We stop that verse word. 21? 3. 24, quickly. Being justified. Look at this. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as the propitiation in his blood through faith. This is another word we need to study. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. I like verse 26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He is the just one. He's not only the just one, he is also the justifier of the one who has faith. You see, that's the beautiful thing about Christianity. It's like God saying, I need the price of sin to be paid. Then he steps down in Christ and goes pay the full price, and then just tells you, believe in this. That's why I've told you, don't be cutting covenant with God. You know, most of you like those kind of language. Lord, I cut covenant with you. If I get this work, stop all those cutting of covenants. You know, you people say, you know, I have a covenant with God. You? Ah, man. You know, some things that come out of our mouths, I don't know where we learned them. You have a covenant with God. Can you keep a covenant? You? That you've promised your wife that you'll buy her wristwatch 5 years ago. Are you sure you can keep covenant? Those of you who pray, oh God, if you bless me, I will sponsor your kingdom. We are seeing how the kingdom has been sponsored. Do you remember the prayers you prayed before God gave you that contract? Do you remember the vows you made? Do you remember that if God reminds you of your prayers, by now you should be serving him full time? Do you remember when you were small and they called for missionaries and you came out? You want to cut covenant with God? Stop that nonsense. It's an insult. If you need anything from God, he says he that lacks wisdom should come and ask liberally. Stop doing this thing that you are taught. And God, if you carry me out safely and come back, I will give you thanks. So what does that do? What was that now? What's that now? You now traveled and came back. You say it's covenant. All the times you forgot to cut covenant and you traveled and came back, who kept you? You know, this is backward thinking. Listen, and I'm telling you now, you cannot cut a covenant with God. Israel tried it. It did not work. The new covenant is not a covenant between us and God. It's a covenant between God and Jesus, and we believe in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I can tell you there are many things you promised God that you have forgotten. It's as I'm teaching now, you are remembering. Ah, okay. So don't cut new ones. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, accept what Jesus has done. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Accept it. Let serving God be a thing of joy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh God, if I do this thing again, let me die. Is it God will just save you? If not, by now you would have died twice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, these are the, you know, when I talk about another gospel, these are the soft highways we teach people, and then we now put them into bondage. Because when people now fail God, right, they now struggle to serve God because they feel what? Oh, the vows I made to God, I could not keep it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's now a struggle. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have consecrations, but you know, the attempt to say you want to cut a covenant with God is unheard of. In the Old Testament, yes. In the New Testament, no. Jesus paid that price, and we believe in that price. Can you somebody say amen? Amen. All right. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. Wow. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 2:8. Look at this. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not as a result of works, so that no one may what? Boast. Wow. Not as a result of works, so that no one will boast. I like when David was given, how he gave to God. You know, he said, God, we are bringing for to you what you gave to us. And there is nothing we are giving you that you didn't give to us. That's your attitude towards giving. There's nothing you have that God didn't give to you. And so when you're giving to God, it's not like you're really, 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 really giving to God. You're just, it's from what he gave you. You know, it's like you have a child. You bought a packet of biscuits for them and you say, give me. And then the child is trying to run business with you. You know, you just look at that child and say, you belong to me. The biscuit belong to me. Do you understand? You and the biscuits, they are mine. You know, all these things we try to do. You know, God, you see, that's why I say the forbearance of God. God is a merciful God. If God goes by your own commitment, you should not be alive by now. That's the truth. Even if God goes by your own prayer sometimes, you should not be alive. Because some of us only pray when we are in trouble. When we are not in trouble, we don't pray. We don't have a prayer life. We don't have a church life. There's nobody who cannot serve God. When certain troubles hit you, you will be looking for God. Yeah. I've seen people who are not serious with God get serious when they get sick. Sometimes they are on my neck. Pastor, pray. Pastor, pray. And you know, sometimes I pray for them. You know, but I'm one pastor who is not looking for extra work. You know, some pastors like extra work. They will not stand with you. I'll be praying, say, we are going to pray all through the night. We are going to... I will just send you link to 4 or 5 messages that I've preached. Because when I stayed up all night studying, was to prevent this. Yeah. Then you're quickly looking for healing scriptures. So I'm quickly looking for this. And I always tell people, when you are in that state, ask for mercy. Because when your eyes see the certain symptoms, faith already is taken away from you. That's the truth. So in certain conditions, you know Jonah, right? Maybe this will apply to someone. You know when Jonah entered the whale? He cried for mercy. Then the whale went to vomit him where he didn't want to go. You know, you can be rich and you use your words to disobey God. Because he had transport fare. That's why he paid to Tarshish. You know, you can use your words to disobey God. So, God caught him. And you know what God was trying to tell him? God was telling him by that act that the ship you entered belonged to me. The water that ship is riding on belonged to me. And a fish that can take your size, I have it. You know, when you are fighting somebody, there's always say, I have your mate at home. That's what God told Jonah. He said, I have your mate inside water. So the fish swallowed him. And Jesus used him to preach. He says, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be. Don't be a bad example in Jesus' message. So Jesus used him to preach. And he vomited him. Then he preached. And the people repented. He was angry. You know, there are some Christians that don't like that wicked people repent. We'll deal with that. We'll talk about the God kind of love. That desire in you to see people punished for what they did to you, you need to change. So Jonah was angry. He started complaining to God. And God is interesting. He made a tree to grow. Jonah relaxed. Then he killed the tree. Jonah was angry. And God said to him, for a tree, you're angry. What about humans that I created? When you know how to put your faith in Christ, humans will not be an issue in your life anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You will know that no man can take your life except you lay it down. And how do you lay it down? By your confession and your fear. That's how you lay your life down. By what you say and what you're afraid of. Job says, what I fear most has come to me. That's why I tell you here, every form of fear that you have, deal with it in scriptures. Don't just let it go. Deal with it in scriptures. Why? Because your fear opens the door for certain things to happen. Okay, so we're going to continue from here because there's a whole lot we need to go through here. So the just shall live by faith. We are justified by the imputed righteousness of Christ. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Right? What does it say? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. So that we might become what? So that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. How does this happen? Faith. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, it's easy to have faith in humans. There are some people here, if I tell them after service, I'm going to send you 1,000 naira or 2,000 naira, they'll just believe. Because they know I can do it. That's faith. Believe that we are justified by the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you for his death on our behalf. Lord, we know that we cannot boast in our works. And Father, we thank you for faith in the finished work of Christ. We thank you because we're redeemed. We thank you because we're the righteousness of God. We thank you because our sins are forgiven. We thank you that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Let your name be honored. Let your name be praised. And if there's anyone here this morning struggling with the guilt of sin and the guilt of their past life, we ask that the precious name and the precious blood of Jesus will wash their conscience and their hearts free. And they would stand in the consciousness of your righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, say aloud, amen.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.